The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show at 6 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 30th of November, 2023. How are you all doing out there? Hope you're well and warm. It's chilly. But nice and crisp, as I mentioned yesterday. That is the advantage of the cold weather. Right, we're going to focus on the next 3 hours on this programme right now. And we've loads coming up across all the big stories and the big issues, as you would expect. We want you involved in the conversation as well. As always, at the start of the show, we invite you to give us a WhatsApp or a text on 086 6025000, or give us a call in 07491 25000. If you're at home, you can open up your smart TV, the YouTube app, type in Highland Radio Ireland and watch the show and most of our guests there. We've got a real mix of stuff on the show today. How else could I describe it? You can go to YouTube on your Fire Stick as well, Highland Radio Ireland there, and across your mobile devices. And we'll pop up on your Facebook feed as well, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. Feel free to watch us there and interact with us there. Right, the papers this morning. The Donegal Democrat, a director of a company at the centre of the defective block scandal in Donegal, has told a court that the business was forced to close due to a boycott campaign in 2021. Ms. Natasha Cassidy took to the witness box at Buncrana District Court this week during a case involving Cassidy Brothers Concrete Products Limited. Donegal County Council has taken legal proceedings against a company for non-compliance with its planning conditions at its headquarters at Grantia Buncrana. An enforcement notice was served on the company in May 2022, and in January of this year, a summons was issued. The Donegal News this morning. The chairman of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee, Councillor Jerry McMonagle, has said the high number of sick leave absences among Gardaí in the county are due to the pressure of the job. Figures obtained by the Donegal News under the Freedom of Information Act reveal 240 Gardaí were absent from work due to sick leave in the first 6 months of this year. Malicious injury on duty was among the reasons Gardaí in the Donegal Division took sick leave during that time. Councillor McMonagle said it was totally unacceptable that Gardaí were injured in the line of duty. My first impressions are that it's an awful lot of Gardaí on regular sick leave, he said. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning, with Chagask predicting that tillage and dairy farmers are facing a 50% cut in incomes this year. Malcolm Thompson, the chair of the ICSA in Donegal, is blaming the EU and the government for driving the agenda for emissions on the agriculture sector. He believes the government is quite happy to go along with the green agenda, which is fixated on farm emissions, despite the fact that our global footprint is totally irrelevant. Mr. Thompson said the government is merely engaged in a box-ticking exercise to satisfy the EU because Ireland's emissions footprint is 0.1%, and even if we did nothing, it would not make one bit of a difference. The Derry Journal reports that Derry's Alt na Gavan Hospital is bracing itself for a challenging winter ahead. In a press briefing yesterday, the Western Trust warned it faces a multitude of pressures, including the loss of targeted winter funding. Alt na Gavan's emergency department has seen 100 more patients between April and August this year than last year. According to the Trust's official figures, last year 28,399 attended the ED, while 28,498 attended this year. It says 80% of people in the ED are typically dismissed. However, the other 20% require attention in hospital. That's a high rate of people that aren't admitted to the hospital attending there, 80%, isn't it? The Irish Daily Mail this morning. Garda will resort to the use of force in order to protect the public and themselves, Drew Harris has vowed. The Garda Commissioner, who insisted he won't resign after last Thursday's uncontrollable riots in the capital, has outlined a series of measures to protect the public. All officers will be provided with incapacitant spray, which is pepper spray, of course, while public order units will get 200 additional tasers as well as smaller round shields to allow officers to snatch troublemakers at protests. You see them in France, the smaller shields, and elsewhere. Gardaí are also trying to get legal access to CCTV audio, the commissioner said. Mr. Harris remained defiant yesterday, saying his members had not lost control of the situation when hundreds of people rioted on O'Connell Street after three children and a care worker were stabbed earlier that day in the city centre. And that one of those children remains very seriously ill in hospital. and the carer also very seriously injured in that attack. Are you in favour of the Gardaí? New shields, more pepper spray, more tasers? 086 60 25,000. The Farmers Journal this morning, agricultural advisors are warning that farmers could miss out on scheme places and payments as a major bottleneck for applications builds. Three key schemes are closing within days of each other. Non-productive investment in tranche one of Acres investments, the organic farming scheme and the second tranche of Acres close on the 6th, 8th and 13th of December respectively. Tens of thousands of farmers are applying to these schemes. And Agricultural Consultants Association President Noel Feeney said advisors are working around the clock. Are you in the farming community or not? Did you attend any of these these new regulations where you must wear a helmet and you must do a course to ride your quad on your own property in the course of your farming activity? But there were some people were telling me that they were told at these courses, there's not many of you out there that have done them, but I'm sure some of you listening have, that it would be Gardaí that would enforce these measures, that Gardaí would ensure that you had this this pass or whatever you might call it, this training, and also that you would be wearing a helmet. Which I'm not sure if it was just one or two courses or it was being said right across the courses, but I don't believe that to be the case. I did make some inquiries in relation to that, and the Gardaí don't really necessarily have a role, or at least they're not aware of a role that they might have in enforcing such regulations on people's private property. But I'm just wondering if is that the general message that's being given out to people on these courses, that it will be an Garda Síochána that could come onto your land and fine you or arrest you or whatever it might be for either not wearing a helmet or not having passed that course. If any of you can let me know if that's what you were told, because it's my understanding is it's not accurate information. The Irish Times, a large number of independent TDs look set to row in behind the government ahead of a mooted vote of confidence in Minister for Justice Helen McEntee. Sinn Féin have called on Ms. McEntee to resign after the riots in Dublin last week and will decide by today whether to table a motion next week. We have Piers Doherty on the show. We'll ask him straight out. Are they going to table a motion of no confidence in the minister? While a party spokesperson declined to comment on whether a decision has been made, Ms. McEntee's position within the coalition and among independent DDs is considered safe. A government source said the coalition expects to win such a vote comfortably. Do you believe that Ms. McEntee should go? You can either judge that on last Thursday or her what she's done collectively. I mean, she is a lady that's introduced quite a lot of very important legislation, particularly in the protection of women, domestic violence and other areas. She's been very, very active in relation to that. She's, of course, the head of the Department of Justice. But do you believe that she should take responsibility for last Thursday? Like, and if you're going to do a vote of no confidence in her because of the situation in policing, how could you not do a vote of no confidence in the health minister, given the state of the health service? Why her? Why now? Maybe the answer to that's obvious. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. The COP28 party gets underway soon. It's where world leaders from all around the world jet in to Dubai, if you don't mind. They fly in on their hairy planes and they go to a country and a region that has made trillions, $5 or $6 trillion dollars in profits from oil and gas last year. It's one of the biggest suppliers of oil and gas. And they were actually going to use it, or will be using it, as an opportunity to lobby world leaders in favour of the oil and gas industry. And they're going to meet for a few days. They're going to say the same things. And they're going to ask us to make all these changes, which I am anyway, don't get me wrong. But it is, a lot of people will feel that it's a bit of a two-fingered salute to the general population as they fly from all over the world to the biggest, one of the biggest producers of emissions through the creation of oil and gas. But anyway, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar will attend for the opening 2 days set aside for individual addresses by world leaders. He'll be followed by Taoiseach Na Mícheál Martin. He's going over as well. Eamon Ryan's also going to make the trip. Charlie McConnellogue is also over there as well, as is Junior Finance Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill. So we've got Charlie, Mícheál, Leo, Enda, Eamon, and Jennifer have all flown over there, presumably. How else would they get there? For COP28. And we'll hear the same stuff. They need to refine their messaging because it's going over people's heads, I think. Michaela abused song, accused, denied charges. This is the Irish Daily Mirror. Two men being prosecuted over the singing of a song which contained offensive lyrics about the murder of Michaela McAreevy are to contest the charge, a court has heard. A lawyer for a third man facing the same charge indicated he wanted to seek further clarification before entering a plea. Dillian Kelly, 22, of Edmund Court in Tobermore Estate. Stephen Kane, 25, of Coolshinney Heights in Maharafelton, 23-year-old. Kean Jones, for Mahara, will face a single charge of using threatening, abusive or insulting words or behaviour intended to stir up hatred or likely to stir up hatred. Sinn Féin's been blasted for holding up a picture of a man drinking alcohol near the school where a knife attack occurred in Dublin last week. I don't understand what they were trying to achieve in doing so. We'll ask Piers Doherty a little later on. This is the Irish Daily Star. Party leader Mary Lou MacDonald also shared the picture on social media platform X of the man. And a local councillor has called for those involved in last Thursday's violent Dublin riots to be shot in the head and beaten until they die by the public. Fianna Fáil councillor Azad Talukder, chair of Limerick City and County Council's Metropolitan District, made his remarks at a meeting of the council earlier this week. He told those present, I strongly believe that this is not the face of Ireland. This is just some criminals looting the shops. I don't think they follow any ideological purpose. They come to the streets and just rob. They should get punishment. Not even an animal does these kind of things. It's very shameful and they should get public punishment. I'd like to see them shot in the head or bring the public in and beat them until they die. Now, if the Gardaí are going after people for incitement or Conor McGregor or that, and this is not me taking any particular position, by the way, let's be very clear about that. But if they are going to go down that route, I think they certainly would perhaps need to speak to that councillor about those comments, because they are very, very strong indeed, if that's the route we're going down in this country. And finally, in The Sun this morning, 1 in 7 prisoners held in Irish jails is a non-national. New figures from the Irish Prison Service reveal there are currently 717 foreigners behind bars. Their nationalities are EU, 376, African, 108, British, 96, Asian, 45, other European, 44, South American, 31, Middle East, 8, North American, 7, Central America, 1, and Oceania, 1. The stats confirm Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's claims this week that only a small percentage of crimes committed in the Republic are by migrants. But I'm sure someone else is going to make a comparison to the broader population numbers versus the prison population. You can be sure of that. Anyway, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Deputy Piers Doherty is Sinn Féin's finance spokesman, and he's with us now. Donegal Deputy 2, of course. Good morning, Piers. Thanks for your time.
Good morning to you, Greg. Good morning to your listeners.
Right, so I suppose first question, has your party decided whether or not it is to table a motion of no confidence in Helen McEntee?
No, we'll be considering that later. Greg, we've had Helen McEntee before the committee or before the Dáil yesterday, where she took some questions. We had the commissioner yesterday, and we expect Helen McEntee. She didn't come before the committee this week, but we expect her to come before next week. But this is now something we would consider. We believe that the ball is firmly in the government's court. We believe that Helen McEntee is not the person to lead the type of change we need in terms of law and order, and to lead our department. And I think what was the tipping point for us was obviously what happened and spilled out in the streets of Dublin on Thursday night. In my view, something that was completely avoidable if the Gardaí had a plan, if the Gardaí had the resources, but it was clear that they were outnumbered. But it's not, look, we're not raising the issues of Gardaí numbers just this week. We've been raising them for years. We produced our own plan in relation to Dublin City. We've been talking about the crisis we have in terms of retention and recruitment in Gardaí, and I think that's to be seen as far away as Donegal, mm-hmm. where, you know, the numbers under this government, like, and these are the bare facts, under this government, our communities And our streets, our towns and villages are less safe now than when they were. We have less Gardaí in the state, and we have less Garda stations since Fine Gael took office. And that is simply not acceptable. And nearly in every single division in Donegal, we've seen a reduction in Garda numbers since Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Green Parties went into government 3 years ago. And unfortunately, Greg, that trend is likely to continue, because we can see now what's happening because of the crisis that's in Dublin. What's happening is the vast majority of recruits that are coming out of Templemore are going into Dublin to deal with the fact that the government have left them completely exposed. But that's leaving all of the rest of us now exposed, you know, and this can't go on, in my view. And, you know, that's why I say that the Minister for Justice, who misses our targets in terms of recruitment, who, you know, just is, in my view, is delusional in relation to the fact that streets are safe and that we have enough Gardaí numbers. I just don't believe. If you don't acknowledge that there's a problem, you can't be the person to resolve that.
But is the timing right now? Because let's just say Helen McEntee was removed from her job. This will be spun as a victory for those who took to the streets on Thursday, and for the agitators too, who were very glad to see those people out in the street. This will be a victory for them. We told you so. She was ineffective. She had to go because of your actions. This will be spun and used. Is that a risk you're prepared to take?
The people who went out in the street, and everybody's united in relation to this here. We all know who was involved in this here. We all know far right was involved in agitating and trying to get people onto the streets. We know that it was criminals in the main who exploited that situation then in relation to the riots, in relation to the looting, the burning of our public transport, the attacks on our Gardaí. Like, the scenes were just absolutely horrific and were left exposed. Those people aren't worried about Helen McEntee, let me say this. And they got their victory. Mm. Like, they got their victory. Yeah. They overran the Gardaí. The Gardaí lost control of Dublin city centre, the entire Connell Street, for hours on end. So, like, the issue here is, where is the accountability? This shouldn't have happened. It didn't happen the next night. Why? Because the Gardaí were there in numbers. They were coming from Donegal, from Wexford, from Clare and elsewhere. They were shipped into Dublin to make sure that the Garda presence was there, that we wouldn't see the scenes anymore, that these criminal elements would be able to overrun our Gardaí. And therefore, there has to be accountability. We've been saying this for months, indeed for years, to the minister, and the minister is saying, like, she went out last in the summer, walking down a Collins Street with eight Gardaí, saying our streets are safe. When communities were telling you, when tourists were telling you, when business leaders were telling you that they're not safe, that our capital city, and this is our capital city as well, the people of Gidor, the people of Letterkenny, Dublin is our capital city. Yeah. We've many of our young people in college in Dublin, we've people working in Dublin. It is an unsafe place to walk at night, and that's the reality of it. So there has to be political accountability, and it goes back to this here. If the minister acknowledged, like, the minister still can't acknowledge that what we all seen with our own eyes, that control was lost in Dublin. The minister still won't acknowledge that. The government came out and said that the Gardaí have enough resources, when every Garda member that you talk to, including their representative body, said, no, we don't have enough resources. The GRA were out this morning talking about the spin from government about, you know, even though that they're missing the targets this year, they're saying that they might hit 800 instead of the 1,000. The Gardaí, the GRA are saying it's 600 that's been recruited. This is what's happening in terms
of... there's a couple of hundred Gardaí that will be brought in before the end of the year to pad out the 2023 figures.
Exactly, but massaging the figures.
Are you in favour of more tasers for the Gardaí, water cannons, pepper spray? Are you as a potential member of the next government? Are you in favour of that? Do you think that's the right route for Ireland to be going down?
Well, first of all, Gardaí have pepper spray, and they have the access to water cannons. Our Gardaí have to be equipped with the way to deal with either riots or to police in the 21st century. And it's not just in relation to public disorder. We have the issue in terms of gangland crimes and so on. So, for example, body cams. We've been arguing that the Gardaí should have body cams for years.
Are you in favour of facial recognition?
Facial recognition We believe that the government should bring forward the legislation will help with quick scrutiny in it. In some areas that it's in operating in, it hasn't been the be-all and end-all. Indeed, I think some areas have actually withdrawn it. So there has to be checks and balances.
And you also back, because it is part of this, but not a policing response. You're also supporting the introduction of the new hate speech legislation as well, your party.
No, we opposed that legislation in the Shannon. There are issues in relation to sections of that bill, which particularly section 10, I think it is from memory, which we raised during the Dáil. When it went to the Shannon, then we had, obviously, they didn't amend it. This is what the passage of legislation is about. So therefore, it has to, in our
But you would introduce it in some form in government, though.
Sorry?
You would introduce it in some form in government with the appropriate amendments.
Well, that's as wide as a lot.
No,
spring,
point. I'm trying to establish what alternative you're providing to the current government. You know, a lot of people have a lot of concerns.
Yeah, no, but
freeing up Gardaí to use batons more freely and all that. You're in favour. Like, what actually alternative are you offering other than more Gardaí?
Greg, the core of this here is more Gardaí. Like, that is the key. Like, the reason Dublin was overrun is because we didn't have enough Gardaí. There is 450 Gardaí less in Dublin than there was in 2009, despite, you know, huge population growth. But that's the same in all of our areas. In the Milford area, the Milford division in Donegal, the number of Gardaí has dropped since this government took office 3.5 years ago. In Letterkenny, the numbers have dropped. In Ballyshannon, the numbers have dropped. Overall, in Donegal, the numbers of Gardaí are dropping year on year as this government is in office. The answer is more Gardaí. Talk to people, talk to Gardaí themselves. They are absolutely overstretched.
So what do you do then? Do you increase pay? Because, you know, they are looking, obviously, to recruit. Not enough people are saying, right, that's a career I want. I think, you know, what do you do? Like, what does your party do to encourage more people to become members of An Garda Síochána?
Yeah, so first of all, what you do is you do need to increase the payment that is made to Gardaí while they're training. So up until a couple of weeks ago, you were actually getting less money during those months in Templemore than you would if you were on social welfare, which is scandalous.
That's just over 300 now. What would you put it up to?
And we would have doubled it. So it would have been up to 360. And the GRA are out today still saying that if you're in employment or if you're in the middle of a cost of living or you might have a young child or you're trying to support a family, to make that step to go and become a Gardaí and to be given 300 euro is not, you're not able to recruit. It might be okay in the old days, mm-hmm. Greg, where you might have been coming out of, school or college and you were going straight into there and you didn't have obligations or rent. We're trying to recruit people that might be in their 30s, that are, you know, in their mid-30s. They've got other responsibilities. So doubling of that support during those periods as a Gardaí is training will help recruit more.
Now, obviously, the Gardaí is the reaction, okay? A lot of people feel that the cause of what we're seeing now, and I'm not saying this is the case, but this is what people feel, mass immigration is causing tensions and concerns and what have you. And also, you know, a lack of government spending in certain areas of Dublin, for an example, where people feel desperate. They feel, and that's no excuse for any behaviours. And I'm not suggesting that certain people from a certain area were responsible from last Thursday, but we saw a lot of that. What about those two issues? Does your party believe that we need to talk about that?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important that we do not give any excuses or any justification for what has happened. And I do genuinely believe that what happened on Thursday, and remember what happened on Thursday morning or afternoon was shocking. I was leaving Dublin here and the first instinct was who was involved here. And we knew that if this was somebody who wasn't of Irish nationality, that this would be exploited by the far right. Our members, our other elected members, were texting people in the city at 2 o'clock saying, this is going to blow up. We understood that. And this was seized. Obviously, the far right tried to organise and agitate. And when I'm talking about the far right, there are people there that have genuine concerns in relation to immigration. I'm not talking about those people. There are people at the core in terms of far right. They are supported by the likes of the British National Party, who are cheering at what happened in terms of Dublin. They are people who supported the loyalist in the north in the past. They have no interest in terms of Irish society or Irish values, and they're trying to sow division. And the problem here was that they were, the Gardaí didn't see this coming. I don't know how they didn't see this coming. Our leader was on the scene. Just to say this, our leader was on the scene at about 3:30 and made comments. And one of her team saw very clearly with his own eyes, said to the Gardaí that this issue is going to blow up, that they're working the phones.
Well, there's two things on that. Because if this is what, I don't know if the I didn't get an opportunity to watch the question of the commissioner, but if he he can't win either way, right? Because if they say they didn't see this coming, it means that they don't actually monitor social media or understand how it works or have eyes on the not massive amount of people that agitate, which is a failing in and of itself. You know, if they say, well, we couldn't have seen this coming. So I don't think there's any win for the Gardaí there, because obviously that your staff member knew it. I knew it. I was watching the videos at 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, meet at 7, arm up, all that kind of stuff. So if the guards didn't see that or don't monitor that or don't understand that or can't interpret that, that actually is almost an equal failing. But what is your party's policy on immigration, Piers? Because and this is not the cause of it, okay? But this is an area that people can exploit and have a... What is your party's actual policy on it? If in government, what would you change? Or have you any... Would you do anything different to what the government's doing right now?
Yeah, of course we would. First of all, Sinn Féin are opposed. Some people would say open borders. Sinn Féin are opposed to open borders. We need to have a managed immigration policy. That means people who are fleeing, who are genuinely fleeing war-torn countries need to be... are entitled to international protection. But those who are not...
So what would you do for someone getting off a plane or a boat without any documentation? Would you send them back or would you take them in and process them?
You're not allowed to do that under international law if they ask for protection. What the problem is, Greg, is and this is the issue, why is it now taking longer to process those individuals than before?
Okay.
So if you this is the problem, because some of those people are not entitled to international protection and should be rejected. So that's very clear. That happens at the minute. But why is it taking over a year to do the first interview? That's the questions that we need to ask. Why is the system actually getting worse instead of actually getting better?
Well, would your party take people to the plane at the moment? The government leave.
I think the idea that you issue deportation orders and you have no idea if the person has left the country or not is not acceptable. And I think that's rightly criticised by people in relation to that there. It just doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't know whether you've issued a deportation order for the reasons, obviously, is that they're not fleeing a war-torn country, they're not under persecution, and you have no idea whether they... I think that's wrong. And the second thing is, you have to actually manage this. So, like, this has been left completely to the private sector. Like, you know, it's been completely left as to, you know, that there is no plan here from government. The government were talking, like, to a year and a half ago that we would be looking at 200,000. We're not looking at 200,000 at the minute. We're looking at about half of that. But they have absolutely no plan. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they left it up to the private sector. And basically what's happened is wherever there's a vacant building, that's where it will be available, regardless of whether the community has resources, regardless of how many people are already in the community, regardless of all of the other issues that are of genuine concern to people. And that is the problem. There is no proper consultation. There's a community engagement team. You know what the community engagement teams is? They phone you up and they tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And listen, I've just been told that I only had you to 9:30, but I'm going to ask you one more question, and I apologise for that. What was the message, or what was Mary Lou McDonald trying to achieve or convey in posting an image of a man sitting on the steps drinking a can? I'm struggling to see what she was trying to portray there.
Let me say this very clearly, because we've talked at length in relation to the Dublin riots, right, and what happened there and what was behind them and all the rest. But in the middle of all of this year, is a school community that are absolutely traumatised. Now, I think about this. My kids are a bit older now, but I've still people in primary school. If that was in my school, And they were told that they would have the supports. They were told that there would be a guard, the president outside. They seen, those young kids seen their friends being stabbed outside of the school gates. And they were given assurances that there would be a guard of the presence. What happened when they returned on Tuesday was there was a man in the vicinity lying there, and you know, which it seems intoxicated, and there was fear again in relation to
it. But do you think that could have been related?
And it is not acceptable.
Yeah, do you think that could have, it is not, but do you think that could have been spoken?
I wouldn't accept it in one bag. Yeah,
of course. But would you take a picture of a fella sitting drinking a can in one bag and put it up on your Facebook page?
First of all, that fella isn't recognisable. And that image actually explains the fact that that should not have happened. It should not have happened. The assurances were given. These kids are going through, like, their supports, and rightly so, in fairness to the Department of Education, they're very, very good. We've seen it in terms of Donegal, and we've seen it in terms of Chrysler tragedy. They're out there supporting, and rightly so, those children. We needed a policing response. Okay. Those kids didn't know what they were going to face when they walked out of that school. They shouldn't be facing an unknown stranger lying on the steps in the vicinity of the building. It is nothing to do with the stranger himself or herself.
I still don't understand taking a picture of that and posting it on social media. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Because it explains to people that these kids at the minute and the school community are seriously angry that the commitments that were given to them have not been fulfilled. And should be fulfilled. And those kids should be able to leave their school without having fear after what they went through on Thursday.
All right.
That's the reality of it. And the Gardaí need to be there. They need to make sure that there is a safe space for people. It's hugely, hugely traumatic what they went through. And we shouldn't be adding to that in any way, shape or form.
Sorry for keeping you late. I was only made aware late after the fact. About that. Listen, have a good day. Thank you very much for your time. That's Sinn Féin finance spokesman Pierce Doherty there. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Nolene Nihala, who's the Irish Language Planning Officer on Tory Island. Newly appointed. Congratulations and good morning to you. Imagine why, Nolene.
Imagine why. Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you on the programme. Okay, so originally from Gwydor, a fantastic singer too, by the way, most of our listeners might know. Why this role for you now? What attracted you to it?
Well, the language planning officer, it's kind of a new enough role. I think that maybe in the past, or maybe it's 10 years now, that they've been appointing Irish language officers. And because I have like a passion for the Irish language, and so like the main role of the language planning officer is to promote and revitalise the use of the Irish in designated regions where Irish is the primary community language of the area. So the main objectives of the and implement language plans and to help preserve the language, work with community organisations and the schools, education institutions, and all of that. I've been doing that kind of work on a voluntary basis, or as like part of my singing and music, and as a pastime. And when I would be traveling, singing in France and America, I would always end up teaching Irish as well, because they both come hand in hand together, the culture and the language and the music and the singing, channel singing. So really, for me, it's the ideal job.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And as you say, you know, it's slightly different from conversations we've had on the language before, because we speak to people who are trying to sort of encourage its use, or you know, and have more people using Irish on a daily basis. But you're, to some extent, pushing an open door in that that is, you know, primarily the language that's used. So it's about harnessing that, maybe learning lessons, growing that, securing the future of that, to make sure that, you know, whilst we try and move forward in one space, we don't go backwards in another.
Yes, that's it. And like, because Tory Island, because of its remoteness, the island has retained the language and most of its cultural heritage and throughout the generations. So, and it has a rich tradition in song and music and dance. So on Tory Island, I couldn't be in a more Irish Irish speaking, more a richer place that with the language and the culture,
and it's all it's authenticity too, isn't it? You know, I'm not suggesting for a second there isn't authenticity elsewhere, but it does help that it is an island, and as you say, it is intertwined with everyday life and culture and music and the arts as well.
Yes, that's true, and so that's how I'm combining. I'm using the plan. There is a plan for Tory Island, and it's community based here on the island. The language plan will be probably different in every area depending on where you are. So, and because it's Tory Island, and well, we're implementing the language plan through. We've just started up the youth club for the children again, music classes for the children. And I started a music session on Wednesday nights in the club. Everyone is welcome to come into it. And the music sessions, adult learners of the language come along. And as I said, the language and music come hand in hand together. So while we're not playing music, we're sitting conversing in Irish, and the learners are hearing the language and getting used to conversing in it. And then we'll be starting adult classes soon, Irish language classes and conversation classes. And also the what I've noticed is when I'm out walking on the island, I do a lot of walking here, which is great. And most mornings on the way to work, I meet one of the older generation from the island, and they always have a story to tell me. So and I know some of the stories have been recorded on the Tory Chronicles on Facebook, and by my predecessor, Senan McGee, who was in the role before me. He did a great job. And so he has recorded some of the older generation, like building Cuddas and telling stories about Colum Cilia. And so I'm hearing all these stories, and I think soon that I'll get the older generation to sit down and tell these stories to the younger generation, and to the learners as well, and anybody else who wants to come and listen. And I just heard the other day from a man next door that there's that a princess from India is buried in the garden, in his garden, and five men who were possibly her, like maybe assistants, and they've been buried there from pre-Colum Cilia time, and that her body kept rising to the top of the soil every night. So they they made her a saint, and then she was reburied away from the men, and that's where the Kire Hari comes from, you know, the soil, yeah, the clay, Tory clay, which is which has magical properties.
Yeah.
Keeps rats and mice away. So these stories are so rich. I'm learning something new every day.
They can't be lost either, can they? I mean, it's so important that these are archived. And listen, it clearly is a job that you have to do, but I think it's perfect for you, isn't it? I think it ticks all your boxes in terms of it's. I think you're going to be learning and absorbing as much as you are going to be teaching and what have you as well. And then in the summer, will you have any role then too? Obviously, the population increases in the summer too, and we have tourists, and they love to go there, obviously, because it is real. Mm-hmm. You know, it's authentic. That's a long way away, but would you be looking to do stuff throughout the summer as well, I wonder?
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. Well, like some of the classes I teach online to America, some of the people in those classes, the participants are coming over in the summer, and I'll be sure to organise events for them while they're here. They're coming with Age of Scale.
Lovely.
All the way from America to Tory Island, imagine. And so it's great. So I'll be organising events for them and for the children. And the kids, the children have a summer camp. And then last year they had a resi cora. The people who were making the coras then had a race. A cut our race. So yeah, different events like that. Yeah, we'll definitely be. And singing events as well.
Yeah.
I like to incorporate my love of singing and music as well into it. And I'm going to be learning more Tory Island songs. And I'm going to be learning from the community, and we can share songs and music.
Sure, and my word, with your background in performing nationally, internationally, and the awards that you've received, it's a great gift to the island too to have you on board. So it sounds like a perfect match. I'm sure we'll speak to you again over your tenure, but for now, Irish Language Planning Officer on Tory Ireland, Nolene Ní Chaille, thank you so much for your time today. And I'm not sure if you had your morning walk yet. If you haven't, enjoy.
I have, and I have the most beautiful view in the country, I think, from my office.
All right, not so bad. Not so bad. I wish I was there. All right, take care. Thank you very much indeed, Nolene. Your comments coming in thick and fast. Let's get to them after these. Congratulations, Nolene. Best wishes with your new position. Keeping the Irish language alive is so important. That comes in from Colette. Hi, Greg. I really appreciated Piers Doherty actually acknowledging the concerns people have with illegal immigration without calling names. Unlike the government, we have the Stabber, had a deportation order but didn't leave, and two NGOs supported him until he got citizenship. This was confirmed by Gripped Media. It's sad it's taking children being stabbed for people to... The only thing I would say about that is I would know personally a couple of people who were... served deportation orders. And this is me not just contradicting you or whatever. It's just when, you know, I know people were, and there were campaigns to keep them in the country because they were popular and people didn't want them sent back to the countries that they came from. There were campaigns, there were representations made on their behalf by politicians, and they stayed in the country. It is really not unusual that someone would be issued a deportation order and then that be reversed. Now, I'm not in any way being defensive or stating this, that and the other. I'm just saying I know for a fact that that is not uncommon. And when you read it on white, black on white, it might seem like, what? How is this allowed to happen? It does happen quite regularly for right or wrong. What's not to understand, Greg, about the photo? The government said the school would be policed when the children returned to school. They returned to see a drunken stranger. The photo highlighted another failing by government. What don't you understand? I don't understand. Is that where we're at now? Whereby we don't know the person's background, what they're going through, how they ended up there. They were in the vicinity of the school, not outside the school. That could have been explained. It's taking a picture and publishing it. What next? That, you know, could be any of us at any stage that are held up on a sheet of paper in the Dáil. I just don't see what that achieved that couldn't have been achieved through speech. Twitter is very toxic now, and it invites an awful lot of commentary and what have you. It's just a personal. I'm a Sinn Féin member. Pierce is after saying that Sinn Féin does not have an open border policy. This is incorrect. The Sinn Féin 10-point plan shows that we allow no set amount of immigrants into the country. There was rioting and looting during the Black Lives Matter protest. Sinn Féin supported this. They did not condemn the rioting and looting. They don't speak out. They didn't speak out then. Good morning, Greg. How do these people get on a plane from where they departed from without a passport? Who buys their ticket? I couldn't get on a plane on Dublin without a passport or ticket. They should be sent back, they say. Well, they get on with a passport, you see. They get on with documentation in small numbers, not across the board. But that documentation goes missing over the course of that flight. Good morning, Greg. This is just a short message to congratulate you on your interviewing techniques. You press for honest answers from these people that we elect to represent us. Some of them are afraid to come on your show because they know that you'll ask the questions that we, the electorate, want answered. You're amongst the best interviewers in the country. Best wishes and thanks again. Well, that's very nice. I didn't realise that was so complimentary. I note it, but I wouldn't have read it out. But look, thank you. Given that our housing crisis is getting worse, we've taken in 100,000. When will it be enough? And in the meantime, what about services for the citizens who contribute to the Irish state? Ask Mr. Doherty. I'm on a widow's pension. I'm 63. I get €220 per week. No perks or nothing. I have to run a house, a car and all my bills, which in this day and age would be incredibly, incredibly difficult, of course. Okay, listen, thank you so much for all your comments. Loads more coming up after the news at 10. But we'll take a break for that now and the obituary notices. Stay right where you are.